So in the story of the Nativity told in the Gospel of Luke, it's the shepherds who are there in their fields caring for their sheep that are the first to hear the angelic voices, the first to go to offer their homage to the child Jesus as he's laying there in the manger and the scene that we're so familiar with. In the Gospel of Matthew, there's no mention of the stable. There's only the description of the house that the family have now moved into there in Bethlehem. And he's the first people to come to pay homage to Jesus are not the king of Israel, not the chief priests, the scribes, none of the pious Pharisees who are living quite close to Bethlehem. It's only half a day's journey from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, a couple of hours if you're a fast walker. And they're not the ones to go. But instead we're told that people who have been traveling perhaps for up to 2 years to make their way to this scene, these strange magi, these magoi, these foreigners from perhaps Persia or other places who have come because they're seeking the truth, who've come because they want to know what this sign in the heavens means. They come because they realize that things seem to be aligning finally after who knows how many centuries between heaven and earth, and this new star is a sign of this new reality that is beginning to dawn, this new possibility of a child, perhaps, a newborn king, perhaps, that is going to set things right. Because it speaks into this longing that had been there in human hearts for centuries. This longing that all of the stuff that is there in the midst of our lives, all of the things that we build our lives around, can so often be misguided, can so often be so empty of the promises that we hope for. And this promise these magi were seeking, C.S. Lewis says, perhaps the one thing that they were seeking above all else was joy, was the gift of new life and the possibility of a life lived in peace. Peace within their own selves, peace within their relationships, and peace in the communities that they represented. And so they come seeking, come offering their hearts and their lives to at least explore this possibility of a new way of living. And as I said, you would expect that if these things are beginning to be evident even to strange foreigners living so far away, where were the chief priests? Where were the scribes? Where were the Pharisees? Where was King Herod in the midst of all of this? Why didn't they take the opportunity to go and to see for themselves the wonderful things that had been happening there so close to their own daily experiences? But it points to the truth that sometimes people and religion gets things wrong. Sometimes things just don't work the way that God originally intended for us, that He will create all these beautiful structures and possibilities, and yet we still don't take advantage of the things that are offered to us. And so the chief priests and the scribes were lost in their own little worlds and unable to see past the sacrifices that they were offering, to be able to discern within the scriptures that they would have read and prayed on a daily basis the glory of what God was now doing. That God was opening this door, not just to one nation, not just to one people, but He was opening the door to the whole world. It was no longer to be contained simply in one specific geography, one particular place on earth, but to the four corners of the world, that this message of salvation, this gift of new life was being offered to all. And so the Magi are the first. The Magi are the first to discover this for themselves, the gift of new life. The Magi are there representing all of those Gentile nations, all of us who weren't part of that original Jewish heritage, who have experienced the new life and the power of what God had done. And so when the Magi go and continue to explore and continue to satisfy their human quest for knowledge, and they come finally to the scene in the house of the child there wrapped in his mother's arms, and they immediately realize that this child is no ordinary human being, that there is something amazing, something incredible about this. And so the only response that is appropriate to them is the response that they in fact do, which is to fall down in worship before the child, to offer their hearts and their gifts to the Lord. It's a reminder for us that if at times our lives seem a little bit out of whack, if the things that we are so focused on and so caught up in all around us perhaps just not going the way that we hope for, the new year provides a new opportunity to begin things in the right way, to begin in worship, to begin by falling down in worship, to kneel down before the King of Kings, to offer him the gifts of our lives, to offer him all that we are able to bring to him, and to say, Lord, take all of this, take all the good, take all of the garbage, take all my life, I offer it in worship to you, to use me, to allow this gift of this breaking in of the kingdom of God to be a reality in my life this year. Lord, help me to journey with you. Help me to be changed by the experience of being with you, and like the Magi who do not go back the same way because they've been changed by meeting the Lord, let's also go back by a new way. Let's go and to share in this experience with others that we come across during the course of the year. Let's allow others to join us as we return each week to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.